You have heard it said, I've heard it said, that it's not what you know, but it's who you know. That seems to be a phrase that's associated to the job market in our day. It's who you know that helps you move along in your job. It's unfortunate in many cases. Some people are passed over who are very qualified, but they're not buddies with certain people, or they're not intimate acquaintances with certain people. But I want to submit to you this morning, it's not just who you know, but who knows you. These verses indicate the Lord Jesus has a personal awareness, a personal knowledge of His people, and He claims them as His own. And so I want to preach for a few minutes this morning from these five texts I've read on Christ claims our privileges. Christ claims our privileges. Now, you have even seen in the reading of these verses that these are not the only my statements in the life and ministry of Jesus. On several occasions, He talked about my Father. In the last text we read there in chapter 20, He talked about my kingdom. One of my favorite verses is where He said to the disciples, before going back to heaven, my peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you my peace. And all these claims help us understand more about Him. When He says, my Father, that shows His relationship to heaven, doesn't it? And when He talks about my kingdom, that reminds us that He has a cause. He has a great involvement in this world. When He talks about my peace, that speaks of what He has shared with His people, what He owns as His very own serenity. But when He says about His people, they're my sheep, they're my disciples, they're my friends, it tells us something about His feelings towards us. And I want to know more about His relationship to the Father. I want to know more about His kingdom involvement. I want to know more of what is available through Him, my peace, my joy, and so on. But I'm interested in how He feels about me. I'm interested in how He looks at me. These five claims in John's Gospel certainly point out our privileges as God's people. I want to begin in chapter 10 with that claim, my sheep. My sheep. Verse 14 again, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now his claim here is my sheep. But our privilege is what I'm calling the privilege of relationship. He knows us and we know Him. Now, really the big issue is not how big our claim is on Him, but His claim on us. You remember He said that there would come a time when people said to Him, Lord, Lord, remember me? I did wonderful works in Thy name. I honored you on earth. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They seemed to know Him. They knew His name. They knew something about His work. But they didn't know Him. Because He didn't know them. That's the real issue. I would ask you this morning, not just do you claim Him, but does He claim you? He said, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. And am known of mine. They have a relationship with me. They don't just give some kind of lip service. They don't just bow in the field or in the pastures of life. But they know me. And I know them. The privilege of relationship. Or it's the privilege to know Jesus personally. To know Him and His person. Now, preaching as I do almost every night of my life, I confess to you that I'm concerned in this hour that there are many in the religious world who know some of the language, they know some of the religious rhetoric, they know some of the religious duties, but somehow in the process of life, they never came to know Him. That's the only thing that matters, is having a relationship with Him. Amen. Jesus added in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He not only mentions this relationship as a fact, I know them, they know me, but He mentions it as functional, something that is ongoing. They know my voice, and as I call them, they follow along behind me. They follow me. Now, sheep left to themselves are always going astray. But those who hear His voice and respond to His voice will be led in the right paths. Paths of righteousness, as the psalmist put it. And so I just wanted to take a moment with this first claim. He said, I have some sheep in this world. They're my sheep. And he said, I know them and they are known. They are known of my. I am known of mine. They know me and others. Again, I ask you very simply. There's no complex issue here. I would ask you, does He know you? Does He claim you? If so, you'll hear His voice and you'll follow Him. Amen. There's a great illustration of that in chapter 21. We'll not turn there, but you remember, the disciples, in a way, took their claim off of Jesus for the night. And they went back to the fishing business. Simon Peter said, I go a fishing. I'm going back to the fishing trade. And they said, well, we'll just go with you. And they fished all night, you remember, as the children sing, and caught no fishes out on the rolling sea. But in the morning, the Lord Jesus called them from the seashore. You remember His first word? He didn't call them rebels or renegades. His word was, children, have you any meat? In other words, they took their claim off of Him for the night, it seemed, but He didn't take His claim off of them. Amen. Calling them children, even after their failures, and they began to rally around Him as He called them, come and dine. My sheep, hear my voice. And they follow me. Some of us may straggle a little bit behind others, but when we hear His voice, we want to go His way. We want to go after Him. And so His claim, my sheep, sets forth to us our privilege of relationship. Relationship. Then I want you to look at that second claim in chapter 15 and verse 8. Here, Jesus goes as far to refer to His people as my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So here, we not only introduce to the privilege of relationship, but the privilege of discipleship. Now, that word is not prevalent in our society, is it? We don't hear about someone having disciples. But in Jesus' day, it was very prevalent. People who taught certain philosophies, certain teachings, they were great instructors. There were people who would give their time and their lives to be their students or their pupils and learn their principles. They were called disciples of so-and-so, disciples of this one, or disciples of that one. Jesus now goes as far to say, I not only have some folks that I call my sheep, but he said, those who adhere to my teachings, those who receive what I'm saying, and they bear fruit in their lives, he said, they are my disciples, my students, my pupils. I want to call this as well, not only the privilege of relationship to know Jesus and his person, but this is the privilege of discipleship, to know Jesus and his principles. Now, we can't sit down around the fire at night and hear Jesus teach, or we can't, we don't live near the Sea of Galilee where we can gather where he taught the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and all those practical lessons. But he still teaches his people. He teaches us through his word and by his spirit. The blessed Holy Ghost has come. The Comforter is here. And he will guide us into all truth. It's the privilege of receiving the truth of Jesus. Not just knowing his person, but knowing his principles. We're privileged to hear his word. I know there's some on Sunday morning who roll over and say, oh Lord, it's Sunday morning. We're gonna have to go to church. It sounds as though it's such a chore. It's such a difficulty. But I want to tell you, we're privileged to hear the Word of God. We're privileged to have a copy of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit living in us to teach us divine truth. You know what fascinates me? I've been around people who had education to such a degree was running out their ears. But somehow, even though they had a lot of education, they didn't receive the principles of Scripture. They didn't understand the Bible. I've been around other people who had no special education, but God had saved them by His grace, and they had studied a little in the Bible, and God had taught them truth. I want to say that's a privilege. And I'm not saying anything against education. I'm not bragging on our ignorance. Personally, I enjoy hearing all of God's men preach and enjoy fellowshipping with all God's people. I'm a slow learner. But oh, it's a privilege to pick up a few truths every now and then from the Lord Jesus and to walk in the light as he dispenses light. Again, in this 15th chapter, we have the third claim of Christ in John's gospel. He not only said, I want to talk to you about my sheep. That testifies to the privilege of relationship. He knows us. We know him, the shepherd. Then he has spoken about my disciples. The privilege of discipleship. Receiving truth and then bearing fruit as a result of experiencing that truth. But in verse 14, he said to his disciples, ye are my friends. We're making progress now. I hope you see it. Not just my sheep, my disciples, but now he says, you're my friends. I would mention thirdly then, there's not only the privilege of relationship in the claim my sheep, and the privilege of discipleship in the claim my disciples, but there's the privilege of friendship in the claim my friends. Now he goes on to say in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants. Not yet, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friendship brings insight. I have enjoyed over the years trying to preach out of the book of Job, you know. There are three lessons to me in the book of Job overall. Number one, great friends can become great foes. And great foes, number two, can find great faults because they know you better than anybody else. They used to be friends, now they're foes. But thank God, great faith can overcome all these problems in life. And Job triumphed in the end. But you know, if you're somebody's friend, you know a few things that other people don't know. In fact, your pastor knows so much about me, I'm shocked that he would have me come. And I know so much about him, I'm shocked I did come. No, I'm cutting up, but you see what I'm saying? We're friends. We know some things about each other. But I'm saying if we're friends, we can take even their negatives and look beyond them because we know some things. Well, I want to tell you there's no negatives in the Lord Jesus. But what a privilege to know some things. Not only to know Jesus and His person and to know Jesus and some of His principles, but to know Jesus and some of His practices. We're His friends. I don't know why He would want to call us friends. But He said, ye are my friends. You want to obey me, you're my friends. You want to do what I command, you're my friends. That old song that we never hear anymore says, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. I want to tell you, it's a privilege to be called one of His sheep. It's a privilege to be called one of His disciples. Oh, it's a privilege to be called one of Christ's friends. Now come with me to chapter 18, and here is a fourth claim Christ makes about His people. You remember He has been brought before Pilate. He has gone through several trials in a way on this night of trials. He first was brought before Annas, then He came before Caiaphas. Then Caiaphas, the high priest, brought Him before the Sanhedrin. Then He came before Pilate. Then He was taken to Herod and brought back to Pilate. This is His first appearance before Pilate. And Pilate's asking Him some questions. He said to him in verse number 33, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answers now in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He said, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual domain. It's a spiritual dynasty. And he said, in my kingdom I have servants. In fact, the word servant here is a little different word from the ordinary word in the New Testament for servant. This word here means officer. Jesus said, I'm a king, I have a kingdom, and I've got some officers and some fellow soldiers who fight for me if necessary. So here we're associated with Christ and his battle, so to speak. His enemies. His claim, my sheep, affords us the privilege of relationship. His claim, my disciples, affords us the privilege of discipleship. His claim, my friends, gives us the blessing of the privilege of friendship. Now when he calls us my servants, my officers, we see ourselves privileged with his partnership. We are fellow soldiers in the spiritual kingdom. We are officers serving him. We're called to follow the Lord Jesus. What a privilege to be his partner and his representative in this world. He's not here physically. He's at the Father's right hand. But you're here and I'm here and we're partners in the spiritual kingdom. Oh, that God would help us deny ourselves and properly represent him in this world. I know that God is over all and God's purposes will triumph. In the grand finale, you better believe God is not going to be the loser and his people are not going to be losers. He's the great overcomer and we're going to overcome through him. But I think sometimes we lose ground as far as our testimony is concerned in this world because we do not properly represent the king. In his absence, in his physical absence, we are to represent him and be his true servants. So what a privilege to know Jesus and his person, to know Jesus and his principles as we're his disciples, to know him and his practices, and to know him and his purposes. And I want to be a representative of him. God grant it to be so. Ambassador is Paul's words. He said, you're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is not the king, but he's a representative of the king in the king's absence. And here we're qualified in the Lord Jesus' words as his servants, ambassadors, officers, representatives of the king. What a privilege. What a privilege. Then would you come to the fifth one with me briefly. Chapter 20 and verse 17. Mary has turned herself and said to Jesus, Master, verse 17 records his words, touch me not, he said, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. Brother, we've been walking staircases now. Watch it. My sheep, that's wonderful. But better than that, my disciples. Well, that's grand, but better than that, my friends. Then he would even dare call us my servants or my representatives. But the last reference, as far as Christ claims on his people, is this term, brethren. My brethren. Now, it's never right to call Jesus brother Jesus. He is, in a respectful sense, our elder brother. But we would not dare call him brother Jesus. But he condescends to call us brethren. The Hebrew epistle says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Oh, now, I want you to see this fifth privilege. The privilege of fellowship in the family. Now, you know this. I don't have to enlarge upon this subject. But this thing of being a disciple still has its demands on it. And even being a servant has demands, does it? And friendship even has demands. As much as we don't want to admit it, there have been friends that we took for granted, or friends that took us for granted, and now that friendship is no longer enjoyed. Because there are dangers there. There are demands. Somebody said, oh, we're tight buddies. We're real friends. Well, if you're not careful, that friendship can be broken. Really, you can't totally relax in any kind of situation. But what's this? He says, you're my brethren. Now, you can relax in that. There are situations in home life that are more relaxed than all other situations. I mean, you know, I've got to be the preacher at church and evangelist Tommy's. But when I get home, I'm just dad or honey. I'm not the preacher. My children don't say, Brother Hayes. Our house is not a workplace. It's where we live. That's why it's all right to take your shoes off. I live out here in these motels, you know. If I want to hang my pants on the door, bathroom door, it's all right. That's just me. If I want to sling my shoes over in the corner, or when I lay down, if I want to take my socks off and bounce them off the wall, it's okay. I'm there by myself. But I know where everything goes when I get home. You understand, of course. But, there's still something about the family life that relaxes you. It should. Unfortunately, some family environments that are hell on earth. My family and I went out to eat Friday night. And we were in a certain restaurant. And just beside us was another family. I have never heard such chaos and confusion and turmoil in 45 minutes in all my life. I'm persuaded life doesn't have to be like this. Especially as God's people. We ought to be able to enjoy family life with our family, our loved ones. But if that's true on the human realm, I can't grasp this, but I believe it. The Lord Jesus wants me to relax in His presence. He wants me to feel at home around Him. He wants me to enjoy the fellowship of His glory. There's the privilege of knowing Jesus and His person, and the privilege of knowing Jesus and His principles, knowing Jesus and how He does things, His practices, knowing Jesus and His purposes, what He has in mind, but knowing Jesus and His precious fellowship. The privilege of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Christ claims our privileges. And knowing as many people as I do, some people call me their friend and I don't even know them. I was in a meeting recently and this man came up to me and he said to he said, I think we have a mutual friend. I said, and who is that? And he gave me a name. I tried to be nice. I tried to be kind. I don't know his mutual friend. I don't know him. But he apparently has been around me and he knows of me. He's seen me, maybe shook my hand. So he counts me as his friend. Well, I'm grateful. I think. I don't know him. I want to tell you, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. to know Him and to know that He genuinely claims us as His own. Can He call you by these different names? My sheep? My disciples? My friends? My servants? My brethren? Oh, if He can, what a privilege you have in His claims. You're standing with me, please. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed.